It's Wrecking Ball Radio.
Shut up and entertain me.
There's no rules. There's no rules.
Holy sh! It's amazing.
I see her sarcasm and nastiness grow.
This is Davin's Den.
Everybody, you are listening or watching Davin's Den. Yes, Davin's Den, the show that is better than having your computer fixed by a blind man. Only 2020. You can join our chat room, the 1010, by going to Davin Comedy. Yeah, I mean, this stuff is real. I mean, what a year. You can go to the 1010 by going to DavinComedy.com, click live broadcast. Of course, you can watch us on the Davin's Den Facebook page via Zoom. We are there. Audio is better on DavinComedy.com. The visual is better on Facebook, because there is no visual on DavinComedy.com. I am your host, Davin Rosenblatt. I am joined by Mr. Prickly Pear, Joe Carey. Hello, Joe.
Hello, good evening.
Good evening. And the hostess with the mostest, the woman who's got it all but not enough, Pip Helix.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, Pip. On the show, we're gonna go into depth with this Hunter Biden New York Post, Twitter, Facebook story. Because there's a lot of stuff out there, but it's not really together in one place. So I kind of did a lot of research on it. Plus, I have a little bit of insight because I dealt with the New York Post and trying to get stories published and dealing with their lawyers and the hoops you have to go through. And when that story broke, I was watching it on Fox News with my wife. And the story I'm talking about is Hunter Biden's alleged computer, winding up in a computer store and the stuff on it. We'll go into depth. And my wife used to, in another life, was an IT person. So we're watching that story on Fox News about this computer guy and what he found on there, this, that, the other. A lot of stuff. It's going to be lengthy, but I think it's going to be educational, because you're not really finding the full story in a lot of places. And I'm going to try to provide context. Also on the show, and we did a poll, and poll got a lot of feedback on this. Donald Trump retweeted satire, and it appears like he thought it was real. So we'll talk about that a little bit, comics in the news, and if you've ever fallen for satire. School of Fools, a teacher in Florida, of course, because it's never a show without Florida, tells her class she does not like black people. But it's a little bit more involved than that. It's not a slam dunk. Not a slam dunk, though. If you were listening to the pre-show, I could picture this teacher sporting the spiky crew cut and the long hair in the back. But that's neither here nor there. That's neither here nor there. And we'll have an outstanding display of spite against IKEA. Kind of a funny one. We'll talk about that. And we'll do some scamming scammers with Carolyn. So we got a full slate on the show. So much to get to. So, Joe, what is going on in your world?
You know, it's just amazing that we were discussing a place for morons.
Hey, don't you call our fans that. How dare you?
No, not
you
our
know.
Fans.
Okay, good.
I hit a vein of stupidity yesterday.
you were mining for stupid?
There's stupidity in them, there are hills.
in the first instance... And I'm kind of guilty of this, too. There's a drugstore. I still use the drugstore in my old hometown. Why? Because I just figure I have to deal with them once a month. But every time I deal with them, I'm infuriated. And finally, I lost it yesterday. Number one, usually they have high school kids working there. Because when it comes to drugs and your health, why not have people trying to get an extra credit? So knowing what I'm dealing with, I call them on Sunday, and I go, "Hi, this is Mr. Curry. Here are a bunch of refills." I go, my doctor's kind of sent in some new prescriptions. So if the refills aren't driving, there should be something there. I tell the girl, and believe the girl that I was speaking to, you thought I called her during dinner. It's like I was being a bother, you know. So I gave her my refills, and I said, if there's any problem, give me a call. Just my cell phone number, okay? So I go there last night. I walk in, and I go, I got all my prescriptions. And I go, where is the one prescription? Oh, we never gave that. I gave it to the girl. Well, which one is it? I go, it's the fish oil. It's the concentrated fish oil. Well, we don't see it. I go, you're on my I have the RX on there. So the kid looks at it. Like I said, the kid is like 18. He looks at it and goes, well, gee whiz. He goes, well, you have to go to we have to call the insurance company to get okay on the medication. I go, there's refills on there. Well, we have to call it. I go, so let me get this straight. I go, if there was a problem, why didn't the girl tell me, call me? I gave her my number. I told her if there was a problem, give me a call. It was a problem. Heard nothing. They both stared at me like retards at a Ferris wheel. So while I was doing this, there's another customer that I go, the level of incompetence in this place is astounding. Dispense pharmaceuticals? You guys shouldn't dispense Pez. I go, this place is awful. I go, you know? So I go, who's the boss? And you go, well, it's
Tony Danza.
I never talked. But yeah, thank God it was a refill. I really don't need to have it this juncture. I could pick it up maybe tomorrow. I could pick it up even next week, whatever. So with that, I go. Well, let me do some of my shopping. So as I'm a fancy man and love fancy acquired taste, I headed to the dollar store.
Oh, good God.
So I go to the dollar store, and there's a sign. They're hiring.
Hiring.
They're looking for people. They're hiring. And I'm not hiring. They spelled it H-I-R-I-N.
Well, that was intentional. That was intentional. They are not looking for any G's, my friend. They are hiring. G's in this place.
They're hiring. So
as opposed to Hiram, the old Jewish guy who owns the place.
Yeah. Right. So they only had it there. So I go, you're hiring, I see. Yeah. I go. You understand it? That it's misspelled. Yeah. Well. Yeah. I go. All right. I'll be back. So I go out to the car, and I'm like, I got to get home because I had to go over some stuff back at the house. And I walk to the car, and I go, if you don't go back in and take a picture of that fucking sign, you're not a comic. You're not a comic. You hang up your mic. You tell everybody in the industry, well, it's been a good run. And see you around. You cancel Mohegan this weekend with Adam. You're not a con. I went back in and I took a picture of it and I posted it. Because
good boy.
It's not just that one sign. It's at the other checkout. Somebody noticed we're hiring and taped it on four different checkout lines. And not even somebody said, you know, I'm not posting this. And even if the manager told me, well, you got to make sure that here. I don't know. I go, we have to change this because we're going to look like assholes, you know. And to tell you the truth, the people at the dollar store are to tell you the truth, some of the best customer service I've ever gotten is at the dollar store. They're very nice people. They actually care. You know, I remember I was talking to a guy last year that was something was expired. He actually was very upset that there was expired stuff there. He goes, well, I'm going to get this stuff out. So it's not like they're a bunch of dimwits and they could care less. But at this one store, if you see something that's misspelled like that, believe me, I'm not the spell police because I'd be hypocritical. However, if I was hanging signs and I saw that it said we're hiring, I most certainly would revise it.
Well, you know what? That extra G is going to cost you more than a dollar. So, you know, you got to make at the dollar store. You don't get full spellings. You know, you got to cut corners right there. I don't know why being so hard on them.
You put in your application while you were there, didn't you, Joe?
Where the comedy business going? Yeah.
Was this place called? I don't want to embarrass them, but was it called the Dollar General? Is that what this place was? The Dollar General?
No, it was the Dollar G. It's think of a dollar and then think of a tree.
Ah. Oh.
I thought it was the Dollar General.
No, it wasn't the Dollar General.
All right. So,
The people that work in there, number one, you go into that store, they could pack half that store into a bag. See, nobody packs like the Dollar Tree people. They could pack a whole, you give them 35 items. It goes in one bag. I don't know how they do it. I go, you guys should be magicians and shit.
You know, all that crap you're buying is...
trucks are not that good, you know?
You know all that stuff you're buying is all Chinese crap. You know that, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, what do you expect? I mean, you have to... When you go to the dollar store, you have to learn what to buy and what not to buy. Now, I made the unfortunate choice of buying a dollar store burrito.
Oh, good God.
Oh, God.
Let me tell you something. That thing hit my stomach. I'm on the way to the day program. I'm about 4 miles, 5 miles from the expressway. I get to the expressway, and I just had it as I was pulling out of my development. I get to the expressway, and I go, I'm in very big trouble. I had a turnaround. Vin Diesel would have been freaking out if he was sitting next to me the way I was driving.
The expressway was your stomach.
That hit my stomach, and my stomach was like, fuck you. Are you? I really hope.
Yeah, but you know what? You know what? I feel you deserve that. Because it was a series of mistakes. First of all, you're gambling with a dollar store food item, but a burrito nonetheless. Second of all, you have the fucking balls, the chutzpah, the audacity to think that's traveling food. Nay, nay. Nay, nay. A dollar store burrito is we're going to be home all day. A dollar store burrito is quarantine food. All right, we're locked down. Can't go anywhere. I don't even know if I can go to my living room and watch TV. Let me get my magazines, my car magazines. Going to sit here. Going to have to. I realize my legs are going to fall asleep. I might die here. But I ate the dollar store burrito. That's what that is. So shame on you to think
well,
that.
Let me tell you something. I got back to the house. I grabbed the my car magazine. I read them putting a small block Chevy into a Nova, watched them dyno it, had them put headers on, sell it, wait for the guy to show up, haggle, follow the guy home, and then it was done.
So
that article I read.
So have you gotten more of these burritos, or was it just a one-time thing?
It was just the one burrito. Right. I think I had another one, but I'm like, no way.
I had another one. You're like Pip with chicken salad that sits out. That was the worst that could happen.
I knew I was getting thrown into the bus for this.
No, after the first one, the second one was promptly thrown into the trash.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Oh, all right.
Not like going to go, all right, I'll go double or nothing. No.
At least you learned your lesson.
For the record, I have not had chicken salad since the event.
No, and it's why you're not allowed back here either.
Chicken salad, you just don't leave it out for 3 days or however it's been.
Well, she went to see if she went to see if those chickens were going to come home to roost. That's what she was doing.
Oh, they roosted.
In my own defense, chicken salad is usually pretty innocuous food.
No, it's
now,
not.
Dollar store burrito should be now the title for bad decision.
That's a terrible decision. The worst decision is to drive on it. But no, anything with mayonnaise is always a gamble. It's always a gamble.
Yeah.
But yeah, a dollar store.
But you know what? Like I said, I'm the kind of person that looks at like the stuff on the 7-Eleven and look at the stuff they have there, and I'm like, I wouldn't eat this at gunpoint.
Yeah, but a dollar store burrito, you're like, yeah, let's get that.
Yeah,
it's like gas station sushi. It's just like one of those things you know not to do.
I'm very careful. I really am very careful with what I eat. And there was one time last year and a half ago, that I don't know what I ate, but I had to get home. I had rehearsal that night in Jersey with Fragile Sky. And I had to explain. I explained to them, I can't make it. I mean, if there was a studio on the island, I would go and have done it. You know, just gone into the bathroom and stuff like that. You know, and doing what I got to do. I'm not driving to Jersey. Well, let me tell you something. They're sending me coupons for the pens. Yeah. I'm very careful, but that was a bit. And like I said, it's not like, hey, that wasn't even in my stomach. It got right in my stomach. They're like, no fucking way. No way. This isn't even digested. This is going right out.
Well, I mean, the president was right, you know. He said the Mexicans are going to send their worst, and they did, right to your stomach.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, there's a dollar store.
I feel like that was probably like a burrito made in China, though. I feel that's what... I mean, everything in a dollar store is China. Don't get me wrong. I buy stuff from there occasionally, too. I don't make it an excursion like Joe does. I'll, like, wander and...
Well, here's the deal. After being a dollar store connoisseur... there's certain things I buy. I'll buy plastic bags. I'll buy aluminum foil. I'll buy the pretzel snacks. I'll buy the jerky. I buy coffee. They've got the best coffee cups. When they have these certain coffee cups, the styrofoam coffee cups, they're the best ever made. So I stock up on those. I get my dishwasher, my Cascade or whatever. So there's, after a while, you gotta, I really don't buy like perishable food or frozen food there anymore. But stuff that, like I said, pretzels, jerky, stuff like that, you can't screw up. I'll buy there.
I think I buy. I think once in a while I'll buy greeting cards at the dollar store, and my wife will get like when my daughter was younger, like tchotchke stuff to give to the kids for like birthday parties, stuff like that. Occasionally a stupid ball or something like that. But the dollar store is pure crap. That's all right, though. So what's going on with you, Pip?
If I ran a card section, I had to look for a card the other day, and it's like you go into the card section, and they got all the occasions, like, baby, this, that. Wouldn't you like to see a little header, fuck you? fuck you. Yeah.
It's a good breakup card. Fuck you.
Yeah.
A breakup card. I know that they have had, some like boutique cards, that'll make up breakup cards or specialty things like that. But do they have that in the dollar store?
No, the dollar store is not a fuck you card type of place. The dollar store is like a bar mitzvah money card, birthday cards, congratulate. They got a little bit of everything. It's always interesting when the money store ones. I don't want to buy you a $7 card because I'm going to give you a check. So we're going to go fucking cheap on this card. But let's be honest, and then we'll move on to what happened in Pip's world. Greeting cards are ridiculously expensive. I just had the anniversary, like which I mentioned, and my daughter's birthday and all. You're dropping $7 for a greeting card. Somebody reads once, and then who knows what happens to greeting cards? There's a lot of money to be made in bullshit feelings. I'll tell you that.
Sometimes I like to get the bargain with this. Like when you get one of them and you read the words and you start to get choked up like a pussy, and you're like, all right, this is worth $7.
yeah, I agree with that. Oh God, that reminds me. I read something today on Facebook, and I know you guys know that I love cats, but this guy writes stories to his cats, and I know it sounds a little nuts, but I read this bit, and I'm like bawling. And then I look at the comments, and universally everybody is like, why am I bawling in the Taco Bell drive-thru right now? Oh, my God. It was just so, like, if this guy wrote greeting cards, there would just be nothing but water-sogged cards in the store.
I think
pulled one open.
I think Joe will agree with me. Those stories are not meant for the cats. It's meant for the lonely fucking hoarders who collect cats. That's who that should be. You lonely people who have no contact with human beings. That's what that is. Because he's channeling it through his cat. You're like, oh, he's speaking to me. And then you lick yourself like a goddamn cat. You fucking degenerate, you.
And it's
listen,
like,
at least I'm clean.
It's a story. I wrote you a story. Yeah, that's nice. I've been looking at this fucking bird for 2 weeks. I want to get him. You won't let me outside of the house. I can have him in 2 fucking seconds. But no, I got to read a story. Fuck you. I'm going to shit under the couch.
Yeah.
I got to get a story about that asshole.
Cats do not want story time. What a self-serving motherfucker. Ooh, I'm going to write stories. Really? Why? Why, you loser? Because children won't sit with you? Because you can't write love poems? You know what you're screaming? You're screaming, I'm a chronic masturbator, and I'm going to write stuff for other chronic masturbators. That's what you're doing. That's what you're writing, and you're going to post it on social media so maybe two chronic masturbators can get together and masturbate each other and have a very awkward relationship and die together and get buried in the backyard in big cardboard boxes. That's what's happening in that. That's what that whole thing is.
It's interesting what people into. A friend of mine, because I post some pictures of my squirrels.
You never.
Pictures of, and she had some pictures of her squirrels. So we're comparing squirrel notes one day. So she goes, she invited me to join this Facebook page for squirrels.
Oh, my God.
And I join it. These people are nuts.
Of course they are.
I mean, holy shit. you know, we get it. I mean, they're fun, but holy.
Yeah, but wait a minute. Wait a minute. In their defense, what'd you think you were going to find there? The stories of how they ran over squirrels? What did you think you were going to find in a Facebook group dedicated to squirrels? Like, don't hold yourself to be better above that shit. You take way too many pictures of squirrels, not even doing anything abnormal, just doing regular squirrel shit. This is the problem with putting cameras on our phones. Now we're taking pictures of shit that should not stop us in the middle of the... It's not once in a while, hey, look what the squirrel's doing. Every guy, it's the squirrel, it's the deer. So don't hold yourself to be any better than this. You're fucking like a year and a half away from writing stories to the squirrels. That's where you are.
You gotta understand, I live alone. I got no...
For good reason, because you're addicted to squirrels, you asshole.
I took a picture of... I took a picture of Simon the Squirrel and Angel the Deer having breakfast on Monday, on Sunday.
Oh my God.
You know, and he looked adorable. I wanted to share that. People actually like my photos of my little babies.
But yes, because it's better than the alternative shit you post. Of course, it's better than your ridiculous political memes, where we're encouraging you to load up your feed with squirrels and deers and other cute critters, because we don't want to fucking fact check you or spell check you like your goddamn dollar store. So yes, we're you think I'm really moved by your squirrels? I'm like, no, at least this is better than the alternative on Joe's newsfeed. Let's encourage this. More squirrels, more deer, more birds, more cats, more puppies, more of this shit.
Lisa was saying before about the signs in the dollar store. Yes, we all know that Joe is Mr. Spellcheck.
Yeah, no, seriously. The ball's on you. I mean, the blogs you send me at times would embarrass a third grader, but I'm glad at least you catch other people's spelling. But I mean, you post memes that you know is spelled wrong. You didn't write the meme, but you're reposting, and you know people are going, well, that's some bullshit right there. I mean, forget about what it's talking about. The spelling is atrocious. So for you, who the fuck are you to hold yourself better than the dollar store?
Here's who the fuck I am, okay? Yeah, I make spelling mistakes. But if I print it up, four sheets of paper to hang for help wanted and put it on the checkout line, and the thing blatantly says we're hiring, I'd fix it, because I could look at it and go, we're hiring. And I'm sure other people have said, you know, the sign says we're hiring. All right.
Now, you know what the problem with that sign is?
If you're in Mississippi, that's perfectly acceptable.
That's where I was going with it. The problem with that sign is not spelling, it's geography. It's just in the wrong place. That sign is perfectly acceptable in many states and locales. They didn't know that Mr. Long Island was going to... The guy who calls NASA named after the fucking county, Nassau. Like the county is launching ships into space. So really...
The way these fuckers on taxes, they could.
Yeah, well, sure, why not? But I am glad that you are hip to fourth grade spelling. That does my heart good. All right. So, Pip, do you have anything? You said you did something. I don't know what you said you did.
Oh no, I actually got a little bit of a scare at home. My email popped up with my ex boss's name. As an email coming from her, and I went, what the hell? And it was a group email that went out about an online event that they were having that scared the crap out of me. My friend still works in that department, and I wanted to see, because some of her work was presented on the online event. So I watched it, and I had to endure looking at my ex-boss and listening to her read, like, taking baby steps with a teleprompter. And the scariest thing about that is now I've been having nightmares about my ex-boss.
Seriously?
Yeah. I had a nightmare last night that I worked with her again, and I was 20 minutes late to work, and she was just spent the day torturing me about it, moved my desk into her office to work with her, and piled all my work up in one column in the middle of my desk, and then made start get comments all day about how that I lost that 20 minutes of work, and they will never get caught up again. I'm so sorry I watched that event.
Wow, you got like PTSD from that job.
I do. I actually do.
Let me ask you a question. You've been out of work for a while. Are they hiring?
I would go back, not under gunpoint, because it's really such a horrible place. There's so many really good people that left or were asked politely to leave about the same time I was, and I still have this horrible feeling like, oh my God, I might have to go back there. Don't make me go back.
Pip's place of business. Pip's place of business is the equivalent of the New York Jets. You know, good people just leave. Nobody wants to go back. Right now, it's just a shit show and a train wreck. People are having nightmares about having to be there. That's what you work for. You essentially worked for the New York Jets. That's what you did.
when I was just about to be told, be handed my frying pan and asked to leave, she said that she was going to get a volunteer, because we did have some volunteers that helped us with certain things. And she was going to get a little desk and put it in the corner of her room, and that's where the volunteer would work. And I was like, oh my God, I wouldn't wish that on one of those kind of people. No,
you're having problems with your arithmetic. Come sit next to me, the teacher. Do your work. Well, I'll help you while I'm grading papers. That's what that is. That person is the special student. That's what that is. That's the special student's desk. I'm sure at some point I was the special student. I still am. But yeah, that's when you have to sit right next to the teacher, because you can't be trusted to work quietly on your own. You've acted up and you're just a little bit stupid.
Well, she's a micromanaging monster, so I just thought, well, of course she would want the person sitting there under her hawk eye all day long so she could torment them with like things like, you know, here's the while you were away pad. Let me show you how to tick off the boxes.
So I got a politically aware daughter, which, like these kids are way more aware. I think I've talked about this. Than I was at this age. So like a few weeks ago, this is several weeks, I haven't gotten to it. My daughter marched for Breonna Taylor, which was the African American woman in Kentucky who was killed in her apartment. Funny thing about that, real side thing. We're not going to get to the whole Breonna Taylor thing, but remember, I think I said it on this air. I certainly said it on Facebook in conversations with people. There was something weird about that attorney general. And the attorney general like really did himself and that case a disservice by speaking at the Republican convention, because now it looked like if he didn't press charges, it looked like he was in like Trump's pocket, whether he was or wasn't. I don't know if I mentioned that here, but I mentioned that on Facebook. Anyway, so yeah. now the people from the grand jury can talk, and they're like, yeah, we were never told. We were never explained what the homicide charges could be. We were never explained what self-defense was. So they're basically coming back and saying, yeah, we didn't give charges because it was never explained to us, which is what I was saying the experts were saying at the time, and which was what I was echoing. It's like, this is not how it's done. I mean, whether you could convict somebody or not, that's irrelevant. I mean, chances are charges should have been brought, and there's a good chance people, the police would have probably been cleared of the most the highest charges and everything. But anyway, so that's what's being said now with this.
Can I interrupt for a second? And I'm not being combative. I'm just that there should be a civil suit. You know, basically.
That's different. Yes. Yeah, well, no, the civil suit was settled beforehand. The civil suit, the family got $12 million from Louisville and reforms for what's going to happen with the police going forward. That happened in the civil suit. So that was taken care of before all this. But if you're paying $12 million and admitting you have to make changes, then, you know, there should be, you would think there's something there. So I don't want to get into the whole Breonna Taylor thing. That's not the whole point. I just thought that was interesting, where now that they can finally speak, like, yeah, the attorney general did not do what attorneys are supposed to do when trying to educate the people making the decision on whether we can bring charges. Not whether the people accused are guilty or not, but whether there's enough here to bring charges. And they're saying, yeah, we were not educated enough. And that's pretty much what was said. Like, you saw his press conference. He didn't give, he didn't, expressed that he said that they had the right, they decided, which is not what it is. The attorney, if you bring it before the grand jury, the attorney's job is to try to convince you why there might be something here enough to press charges. So I don't think we've heard the last of the Breonna Taylor thing. That's not the point of this story, though. But I just want to bring that up. So I guess several weeks ago there was a Black Lives Matter march, Black Lives Matters march in our town. I never know of these things. I don't know. I mean, I know I don't leave my but apparently everybody else did. I didn't know and everything. So my daughter wanted to go. So my wife takes her and takes one of her friends. So a group of her friends who are all white except for one African-American girl, and she is African-American because her father's from Africa. I think he's from Ghana, actually. So she actually is an African-American girl.
So, uh-oh.
What? No, he's fine. Trust me. Yeah. Right. I mean, he keeps on emailing me and saying he's a prince, but I'm not falling for that again. But so I guess my daughter and her one friend, they couldn't find where they were going. So my wife's like, well, why don't you ask the police officer? Because the police are there at these marches to make sure things don't get out of hands, doing what good police do. The good police make sure that nobody gets hurt on any side, no matter what the case is. They're doing their job. And like her one friend is like, yeah, right. Isn't that ironic? Like, why would you ask the police? And my wife had to explain to her. It's like, no, the police are there to protect you. Ask him. They're there to protect you. So I think it's very interesting because we don't really talk about Black Lives Matter at the table. Obviously, if I was black, we would have to, because that's what people. But seriously, that's what white privilege is. People go, oh, what's this white privilege? Basically, white privilege is the three of us grew up and we never had to talk about, you know, the dangers of being a black person in our society. What happens, how you have to be active. We were all taught, and again, we grew up in a different time, but we were all taught that the cops were good. That if there's a problem, you go to the police and everything, and you don't have to fear the police. And then, you know, as we get older, we make our own decisions. But that's what we were all taught. So that's what white privilege is. But this was like, that's what this white girl is. And it's just, it's not the first time where my daughter has had, you know, anti-police sentiment. It doesn't come from our house. And my wife's like, well, our neighbor, you know, there's good police. Our neighbor's a police officer. We hang out with him. He's a good guy. She's like, you know, my wife's like, it's like everything else. You can't, you know, you got to judge people by their merit, by the content of their character, not by their job or their race or their religion. So, It's just kind of interesting. I don't know where she gets this, and we're going to talk about a story about Black Lives Matter and black, you know, in School of Fools later on. But I just think it's interesting that my daughter is very aware. My daughter does not like Donald Trump. Again, I don't really talk politics in the house, although my wife has been.
You can hear it from downstairs.
That's true. That's true. Fair yeah. enough.
Most in Canada are going, oh, he's off Trump again. He ever stopped.
But this is really the only place where I talk about it. Other than that, I don't really, you know, some on social media sometimes, yeah, but I don't really vocalize it. I tend to pull back. But
by the way, the reason the moose in Canada know that we're talking about Trump here is because Lisa told them.
Well, Lisa's a big man. Can't tell that Lisa nothing. So, but although lately, the past couple of days, you know, Trump has been extra Trumpy the past few days. I mean, Trump is going after Anthony Fauci of all people. Really, 2 weeks to go in the election, 2 weeks to go until, you know, voting. This is going to be your closing argument, going after Anthony Fauci and CNN. And my wife's like, I just can't. My wife has had enough. I mean, you guys. And again, I don't really talk politics with her. I know how my wife feels and everything, but it's just interesting that my daughter. I don't care that she hates Trump. I mean, I really don't care about that. In the beginning, I cared. In the beginning, I cared. But after 4 years, it's like, all right, there's enough there. You can have an opinion. But I am concerned about the police thing. I am concerned that these kids, and it's not coming from our home, because I'm certainly not anti-police. I am concerned. I don't think it's in school, that it's in the air, that that it's anti-police. So it's not really, I'm concerned it's not, it's going to be something that we're, I mean, we have to deal with it, but I mean, you know, where this unrest is not something that's going to go away anytime soon. So, I don't know.
No, it's like, you know, the civil unrest that was in the 60s, and people young people had a pretty strong distrust of police then, and I don't think that it's great to talk about, I don't think it's good at all to talk about any group en masse and label them with one particular group of characteristics or traits, especially negative ones. It's unfortunate, but this is going to take a little while to correct.
Well, I mean, and that's what we, see, here's the thing, that's what we have to be vigilant of, because we all know adults who judge people by their job, their skin color, their country, their race, their religion, their political affiliation. And I don't want her, my daughter, to be that way. I want her to be open-minded and everything. So, I think I told the story on the show like a month or two ago. My wife was driving by, and there was like a Blue Lives Matter sign that they passed. And my daughter kind of bristled at that, and my wife's like, what, you don't know that their family might be a police officer. You know, the police were there on 9/11. Yeah, I mean, you don't know. It's a little disconcerting and a little troubling, and I'm sure we're not the only family that the automatic reaction from little white girls who know nothing of the police treating them unjustly, that it's starting to get into their being. So it's our job as parents, when we see this, to try to rectify that. I don't want her to have a negative connotation.
Probably from what she sees on the internet and the news.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I don't know. I guess
and the liberal left politician.
No, there's no liberal left. There's nobody anti-police here. I mean, she's not watching. I mean, even
when you see all this defund the police, you know, and the cops are bad, and all the, you know, that's where they get that.
Yeah, but a lot of times the cops are bad, they're talking about bad cops. So, I have no problem with her thinking.
The news makes it, they generalize it about it, especially in a lot of these liberal cities. And the liberal cities, it's always picked up by the media.
Well, no, I think it's the media. I think it's just, she's just expressing the way an undeveloped mind expresses things. But the good news is, she's a young teen. She's also incredibly bright. So we can develop that mind. What's more disconcerting is when it's full-fledged adults that have these things and aren't discerning one way or the other. So, I mean, you know, listen, I'm not overly concerned. It was just like, it's just like kind of like weird. It's like, huh, we don't even talk about the police in the house, let alone nothing negative. And we have my neighbors over, you know, a couple times, you know, several times over the summer. I go to the cages with my neighbor, you know, so it's... And it's, well, I mean, every time my neighbor comes over, he's talking about cop stuff, or, you know, talking about what he's doing there. And he's a rookie, and he's a good cop and everything. But that's the thing. I think I have to connect somehow, we have to connect somehow, the police to my neighbor, to let her see the yin and the yang. Go, okay, this is an example of a good police officer. Somebody's very diligent, and somebody's very trustworthy. And then, you know, some of the stories you see, this is an example of, bad police, like any job. Like any job. But like I say, the difference is the police are the only Americans that are licensed to take another American's life legally. That's the difference. That's why being a police officer has such great responsibility. But okay.
And the police are one of the few jobs that you don't know if you're going home at night.
Yeah, but you sign up for that. I agree. Although, I don't know, there's been some gigs I've done where I haven't been sure I was going home at night. Walked into some pretty shady places. But that's the gig.